Well, let's talk about crisis today, because you may be at a time when you have just recently come through a crisis in your life. It may be that there will come a time that is upcoming that you will have a crisis in your life. But I know this, that you eventually will come to a time of crisis. It may be an external crisis with the circumstances around you. It may be that in your heart there's a crisis that you experience in that is internal. It may be that there's someone else in your life that goes through a crisis, and because they're going through a time of crisis, you get pulled into the vortex of their crisis, and their crisis becomes your crisis. But how many of you know that the reality is that probably, or not probably, certainly all of us, at some time in the future, we'll go through a time of crisis, right? We're in a series entitled Daring to Follow God's Call on the Life of Elisha. Elisha was a man who dared to leave his established, comfortable life to follow God's call. He dared to follow the leading prophet of his generation in spite of the hardship it would necessitate. He dared to become the voice for God and righteousness in a divided nation in moral and spiritual decline. He dared to be different when the compromised religion of his day was the order of the day. He dared to impact his generation. He dared to ask God for more. And for those who are satisfied with the status quo and ease and comfort and convenience and compromise, the study of his life really isn't for you. But for those who want more of God's power and want to know God more, and for those who would rather follow God's call than anything else in life, then his life is a life for you to study and from which to learn. So turn with me in your Bible to the book of 2 Kings again, this time 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we will meet a woman who is in crisis and from whom we will learn about daring to follow God's call when crisis comes into our lives. So as we will often do, I will have you stand with me as we read the scriptures. Would you stand, please? Follow along in your Bible as I read the account. It begins in verse 1 of chapter 4 and concludes in verse 7 of chapter 4. Let's read it together. Follow along as I read it aloud. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take him unto my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went out from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. I'm going to preach to you today about the three crises you experience when you experience a crisis. And here's my prayer for all of us. My prayer is that God will help those who are in crisis in a very direct way today. Then I'm praying as well that God will prepare all of us, because at the future sometime we're going to have a crisis, right? So we're praying that God will help us now, prepare us for that crisis that will come. And then my other prayer is that we would respond in faith and not turn away or justify all the reasons why we shouldn't believe God and do things God's way. But we would rather believe God and enjoy in time the blessings that God prepares for us when we learn to trust Him in crisis. So let's do that and ask God for those things. And then after that, you can be seated. So, Lord, we are asking these very things I just told our people about. I'm just asking you again about it. For those that are in times of crisis, Lord, speak to them in a way that helps them to know as they leave church today, that helps them to know that next step. And all of us one day will come to a time of crisis. So while we're not in a time of crisis, make us wise. So when it comes, we'll be ready to follow you in it. But for all of us, Lord, help our response to be submitted to you so that we can enjoy, dare I say, we may not enjoy the crisis, but we can enjoy the blessings of what you will do in us as we go through crisis your way. So all of this is really more than just an explanation of an ancient text and an ancient account. It really, Lord, this is a supernatural event that you want to happen in our lives. So I'm asking for your supernatural power yielded to the Holy Spirit as the preacher. And for all of us, as we hear from you today, we ask that you'd give us such yieldedness that as you speak, your voice would be so clear and our lives would be transformed in some way. So help us, dear God. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you. Have a seat. So let's talk about the three crises that you experience when you experience a crisis. Here's the first one. The first is the crisis of circumstance. So we read in verse 1 again. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my sons and to be bondmen." And you'll notice when God describes this and tells us the account, he didn't say, "Hey, this lady came and talked to Elisha about it and said to him." You'll see that God used a very specific term, a term of anguish, a term of pressure. She comes and she cries unto him out of the anguish of the crisis in which she found herself. And she comes crying out for God's help. Now, there are three questions that I think will help us to understand what God is saying in this passage and what God wants to talk to you about. The first question is this. What are the types of crises we can experience? Oh, it's just one verse. But did you know in this one verse, God tells us about five specific crises that this lady was experiencing in her life? Five specific crises. The first of these is a personal crisis. You'll notice as you read the Bible that we're told of this woman that she was of a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. And she says, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead." The first crisis that she experienced was personal loss. Loss of a spouse, a husband, hope. I think all of us can understand loss. You know what it is to lose a job. You know what it is to just give up and lose hope. You know what it is to lose someone who's very important to you in your life. You know what it is to lose something that has been very important in such a part of your life. And when those times of loss come, it shakes your world. So whatever the loss that you're thinking about, how many of you know that it really is a crisis when you face loss in your life? Well, then there's another crisis she was experiencing, and that is a spiritual crisis. So the widow lady told the prophet Elisha about her husband, and the words she used tell us something about what is going on in her life and her thought process, because she describes her husband as he being one of the sons of the prophets. That is, he was a man who was a preacher boy, a prophet in training, a theological student, whatever you want to call him. And he is a man who has given himself. And you'll notice then that she also says that thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. What was happening in her spiritual crisis? It's maybe the same spiritual crisis that you have had. God, it's not fair. My husband served the Lord. My husband gave up his life to be a preacher. God, why would you do that to me? God, if you were real, why would you do all of that and then take him from me when we've given ourselves to you? Why did you do that to me? Why'd you do me that way? There are all kinds of men out there that are don't have a heart for you in any way, and they don't have to go through this. Their wives don't have to experience what we're going through. How many of you have experienced that spiritual crisis in your life and you've asked God the very same questions? God, if you were really real and all you say you are, why would you let this happen in my life? Have you ever been in that spiritual crisis? Well, then there's another type of crisis that this lady was experiencing, and it is a financial crisis. With her husband gone, so was the income that he provided. Oh, no life insurance. No Social Security survivor benefits. And all of a sudden, she's into a financial crisis and the creditors are knocking on her door. And the creditor says, hey, you need to pay up. You need to pay up. And I don't have any money. And she's in a financial crisis. And how many of you know the pressure of financial crisis? And if that weren't enough, there's another one, a fourth crisis she's experiencing, and that is a family crisis, because what is happening? The creditor comes and says, you need to pay. Well, I don't have any money. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take your boys. I'm going to sell them as slaves. And the price that I get will pay off your debt. So now here's a lady who's lost her husband. She is on the verge of losing her boys. She's losing everything. But there's one more crisis that she experienced, and that is the crisis about her future. I would imagine that she had in her mind, my husband's a good man. We're going to grow old together. Our boys will grow up, and they will, when we get old, they'll take care of us. But now her husband is gone. She may lose her boys. And she is facing a future with no hope of support. And how many of you know that the future we all know is uncertain, but especially when you're in times of crisis and you see what could be on the horizon, how many of you know the pressure that that brings into your life? Wow. And it could be, and my guess is that you would probably say, boy, I know exactly what the... And maybe you could say, out of all those five crises, maybe you could say, boy, I've had these many of these. And most of us could probably say we've experienced all five of those crises in our life. Or crises in our life, right? So there's another question then we ask ourselves. Beside asking, what are the types of crisis that I can experience? We ask this question. What are the truths about crisis that God reveals in this crisis? Because, oh, her world turned upside down. Her expectations of what life would be all of a sudden are gone. Well, we learn this about crisis. We learn about the multifaceted nature of crisis. You see, crisis has a multiple dimension. Crisis comes to you as an individual, and that leads to another crisis, and each is connected to the other, so that the individual crisis is also interrelated with other dimensions of crisis. So it has multiple dimensions. There are multiple ramifications. For her, it's her life. For her, it's her future. For her, it's her family. For her, it's everything in her life. And in your life, when you go through times of crisis, it impacts you, it impacts others. There is significant impact anytime you go through a crisis. And every crisis seems to lead you to another crisis. And it brings us to the third question about crisis. And that is this. Where do we turn when we experience crisis? I want you to think back in your life. Take an inventory of some time, just pretty far back, when you went through a time of crisis in your life. When you look back on it and you evaluate this time of crisis, where did you turn when you went through that time of crisis? Where did you turn? And in this passage of Scripture, you'll notice where this lady turns when she's in this widow lady's in a time of crisis. And she turns, verse 1, we read, to the prophet Elisha, and she comes knocking on his door. And going to the prophet Elisha, she is seeking the Lord. So there's a lady that has a crisis of circumstance. And this crisis of circumstance then led her to the second of three crises that you will experience when you experience a crisis. The first, the crisis of circumstance. Then that leads us to a second crisis. It's a crisis of belief. A crisis of belief. You see, how you respond in a crisis brings you to a crisis of belief. What do I believe about God? Now, really, you could say, well, I can tell you what I believe about God. And you could list a series of propositions that are absolutely true about God. Well, God is good. God is wise. God is loving. God is omni this and omni that. God is transcendent. God is personal. And you could list a whole list of things that are absolutely true that you know about God that are true. But when you're in a crisis, how you respond in your crisis tells what you really believe about God. You see, when you list that list of prophets, that's what you know about God. But when you have come to a crisis, how you respond tells me and tells you what you really believe about God. And you come at times of crisis to a crisis of belief. What do I really, really, really believe about who my God is? And in this passage of Scripture, then, when you come to that crisis of belief, God is revealing or has revealed to us five steps that you can take at your crisis of belief. When you come to that crisis and you really are going to decide, what do I really believe about God? Here are the five steps you can take. Number one is this. The first step is accept the reality God has allowed. One of the books I'm reading is a book on suffering. It's by that title, Suffering, by Paul Tripp. And in that book, I haven't finished it yet. I'm about halfway through it. But in that book, he identifies some traps you have to be careful of when you're in a time of suffering, a time of crisis. I'll point them out to you as a warning to all of us when we go through times of crisis. He identifies one of those that he identifies as the fear trap, because fear paralyzes us. He identifies the envy trap. Well, God, why don't others have to? Why me? Why? And look, everybody else seems to have it better than I do. And you're envious of others who aren't going through the suffering that you're experiencing. He points out the denial trap. This is not happening. Oh, it's reality. It is. And then he points out the discouragement trap, and it brings us to despair. But whatever the crisis is, however difficult it is to face the reality, you have to accept this reality. Is that God has allowed this in my life. You didn't ask for it. Did you ask for the crisis that you're in? You probably didn't. It may be your fault. It may not be your fault. It may be just one of those things that happens that just you have to learn to say, God, this is what you have allowed. You've brought me to this. And now that I'm here, This is the reality. And you can accept the reality. And then there's the second step. Here's the next step. Accept the reality that God has allowed you this crisis in your life. Number two is begin where you are. And so this lady at the time of crisis says to Elisha, or Elisha says to her, verse 2, "What shall I do for thee?" And there's no response in the scripture. We don't know if she just didn't know what to say. She didn't know what the possibilities were. It may be that she didn't say anything. It might have been she said something, but it really wasn't important and the Holy Spirit didn't include it. But then he follows up with this other question. And he says, "Tell me, what hast thou in thine house?" Excuse me? You're asking about what's in my house? Yeah, what's in your house? And she says to him, well, look at this. "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." And you want to know about a pot of oil? Yeah. You see, God was going to do something wonderful in her life. But he didn't say, "Well, I'm going to tell you everything that's going on right now. I just want to know, where are you right now? Okay, I've got oil." Okay, we can work with that. You see, God, when he brings you to a crisis, God doesn't say, and lay everything out for you right away. God says, "Where are you right now? This is the reality. Now, this is where I need to start to change." "Well, what about everybody else?" "Well, no, don't worry about everybody else." "What about everything?" "Don't worry about everything." "What about what?" "No, don't worry about that. Where are you right now? Where are you right now?" "I've got a pot of oil." Okay, so this is where I need to start with what's right there in front of me. Because really, your mind can run all kinds of places and God says, "No, no, I'm going to simplify this for you. What's right there in front of you?" Well, but and you could think every plot it all out. But listen, God always starts right where. What do you need to do right now? Begin where you are. And then watch what he tells her. When she settled on that, then, verse 3. Then he said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." Elisha, did I get that right? You're telling me what I need to do is I need to go to all the neighbors and I need to collect a bunch of vessels. And you're telling me when I collect them, then I'm going to take my one pot of oil and I'm going to pour out and they're all going to get filled up. Yeah, that's what I want you to do. Now, I don't know, Elisha, exactly all your story, but, you know, that's just not how this thing works. Because every other time I poured out, when it's empty, it's empty. Now, you go to the store. When it's empty, it's gone. And you're telling me just to pour it out. And the more I pour, the more it's going to fill these other vessels that I collect. Yeah, that's what I want you to do that. But that doesn't make sense. I've never had that experience. And I'm going to tell you, when God gives you instructions, you can justify any reason not to obey God and do things God's way. And you can come up with all the excuses and all the reasons why it may work for somebody else, but not for me. That applies to somebody else, not for me. You can come up with all of that. But at some point, if you want to know the blessing of God in crisis, you're going to have to take this third step. And that is believe the truth God has revealed. The widow came to a crisis of belief. What is she going to do? And if you don't know the account, you wonder, I wonder what she's going to do. Because what he asked her to do makes absolutely no sense. But I want to stop and take a minute and think about your crisis of belief. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because what God may be calling you to do is very counterintuitive, but listen, are you going to believe God? And then that takes her to that fourth step that she took and you and I can take when we come to this crisis of belief in our lives, and that is this: act on the truth God has revealed. Can you picture her crisis of belief? I mean, I can just, in my mind's eye, I can see it. And you read about it in verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, and who brought the vessels to her and she poured out. And I'm picturing this, and I'm picturing these boys, and they're going to the neighbor over. Hey, knock it on. Listen, could we borrow a pot, a vessel? Yeah, I guess. Why do you need one? Well, we're about run out over here. And the prophet said, if we just bring some vessels over here, he's going to, from our one jar we have left, he's going to fill up every jar we bring. Okay. So they give them a little jar. Maybe they have a small one they've set aside. Maybe they have just a one that they just emptied out. And, oh, here's this one. And so I can picture these boys, their arms full, and they're taking it back home and put them in the house. And then they go to the next neighbor. Oh, my, same thing. Oh, yeah, okay. Now, I've got a really big one. You're not going to take it, right? You're going to borrow. I've got a big one, but I don't know if you boys can carry it. Well, I think we can do it. And both of them, they're carrying it back, and they put it in the house. And maybe and they're going all around. And I'm picturing this in my mind's eye. Don't you read the Bible that way? Can you picture? And I'm picturing this because as I see it in my mind's eye, these boys have jars everywhere in this house. They've got little jars and big jars. They've got clay jars and stone jars. They've got all kinds of jars. They might even have some bottles. And for them, in their day, that's an animal stomach. It's been removed and cured and put a top in it. And it's a bottle. I'm picturing they got bottles hanging around. How many of you would like to drink your milk out of a sheep's stomach? That's their bottle. And I'm picturing it, and they've got all that they can, and there's vessels all over in this house. And I'm picturing it, and then Mama shuts the door. And here we go, boys. And she picks up that vessel. Now, if you were that lady, how would you do this? How many of you all would start with a little vessel, just to make sure? A little one. How many start with a little one? That's me. I don't have that much faith. How many of you have a lot of faith? You'd say, well, I would get the biggest one and start with the biggest one. How many of you are, you're bold. All right. You all in bold faith. Not me. I'm weak in faith. I think I'd start with maybe a small one. Maybe I'd go with one about the same size. So if I poured it in, I wouldn't be too disappointed. And sure enough, that first vessel, she begins to pour and those boys are watching. They knew what prophet Elisha said would happen. And she pours in and pours in and pours in, and it's all full. And she takes the jar, the bottle, the pot, and she looks inside, and it's still full. She looks where she just poured, and it's full. Boy, and then she goes to the next one. Okay, did that really happen? Is that just a freak thing? And she pours into the next one. And she pours it in and it fills up to the top. And she lifts her pot back and she looks inside and it's full. And that's full. Boy, now it's getting exciting, isn't it? Hey, and she does another. She does a little one and it fills it up. And then she goes to a big one and it fills it up. And she goes all through the house. Boys, bring me another one. And the more she does, the more exciting it gets. And come on, boys, bring it on. And she goes, it's so exciting. And the boys are getting excited. Mom watches, oh, Mom, let me bring it. And then they get in a fight over who gets to bring what. And boys, stop fighting. God's doing a miracle here. What are you doing fighting in a miracle? Someone's going to read about our story someday. And then finally, okay, boys, give me the next one. Mama, sorry, that's all there is. And she pours the last. And she holds in her hands her pot. And it's still full. Wow. This is the fourth of those steps. The fourth of the steps to take when you're in crisis. And it's really what you want to picture in your own life. Because you're going to come to a crisis of belief and you're going to have to decide, am I going to do things God's way? And will I have a story that I can tell of what God did for me because I'm willing to believe God? You see, in Henry Black being caught, Claude King and their work experiencing God teach that one of the seven realities of experiencing God is this: God brings you into a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. And that's where you are, maybe in your life right now. Faith to believe God. And action, because things can't change or can't stay the same if you're going to go with God. God wants to change your life in some way. God wants to do something in your life, but you can't stay where you are and go with God. This is why God allowed the crisis to come into your life. You cannot stay as you are and dare to live the dream that God has and dare to follow the calling that God has called you to in your life. In this crisis of belief, you come to this point, am I going to believe God and take action, or am I just going to go on my own way? And it brings us to this fifth step to take when you experience a time of crisis, and it is this: expect God to prove Himself in a way that grows your faith. And you read verse 6 again and you see this take place. It came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to the son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said to her, there is not a vessel more. The oil stayed. Oh, look what God did. And you say, wow, I didn't think God could do that. I was at such a point there was no hope for me, but look what God did. I wouldn't have expected. It didn't make sense to me. But all I know is that when I came to that point, and boys, we believed God. Didn't we believe God? And didn't we trust God and do it God's way? And yeah, we did it God's way, and look what God did. And as that vessel poured out oil, and one by one, each of the vessels is filled. This is really the way God's grace works. Remember grace, God gives me opportunity I don't deserve and power I don't have. And when you go through times of crisis and you believe God, God pours out His grace. And He gives you just what you need. Never too little. Never too much. Just enough. The Apostle Paul gives a testimony of his own life suffering in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And God told him something, and he relays it to us. And he says, this is something God told me, and I've learned, and I want to tell you about for my sufferings and my crisis time. And I want you to know about it, because God will do this for you. When God said, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And when you're at the time when you're the weakest, God's strength is just enough to help you to do the next right thing in faith. When you go to a time of crisis, in the end, you're going to just be so grateful of what God did. But in the meantime, you need to believe that God is going to do something in that time of crisis that He would not have done had He not brought you into that crisis, to grow your faith. Well, there are three crises that you experience every time you're in a time of crisis: a crisis of circumstance, a crisis of belief, and then there's one more crisis that God tells us about in this passage of Scripture. And that is a crisis of stewardship. A crisis of stewardship? Yeah, well, what is stewardship? Stewardship is managing that which has been entrusted to me. What about this woman's stewardship? Look at your Bible, verse 7. And she came and told the man of God. And he said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. Boy, she didn't know what was going to happen. God said, but can you really believe God with something so unbelievable like that? She didn't know what would happen. But do you know what she did? She said, okay, God, you've allowed this in my life. You brought me to this crisis. You have entrusted me with this crisis. And so I'm going to believe you and do things your way. How wonderful. Boys get all that stuff. The house is full. Enough oil is poured out so that all of her debts are paid. And she's provided an income to move forward. If she had only gotten 3 or 4 vessels, she would have been in big trouble, huh? But she believed God. And how wonderful that she experienced the blessing of stewarding that crisis God brought into her life wisely and well in faith. Do you realize that everything that you have in your life is a stewardship, including the crises that He brings into your life? It's a stewardship. And God entrusts this to you. Well, Lord, if you've entrusted that to me, could I have something else you would entrust me with? No. God, in His sovereign will, has entrusted this to you. And just like that woman, it is true in your life that you can experience Him in His provision. He gives you what you need. That crisis is a stewardship. God knows you need that. In His plan, He gives you what you need when you need it. In His providence, He works all of this to come to pass in the way that you need it to happen. And all of this in His purposes, why you need God to do it the way He's doing it. And all of this is a stewardship that God has placed in your life. And what you need to know is, God, you have put this time of crisis in my life. God, help me not to waste it, but to allow you to use it to bring blessing that I would not have experienced except I let you work in my life in that crisis. Would you stand with me, please? With our heads bowed and eyes closed. Well, Lord, this is an amazing record of a person in crisis that helps us to understand crisis in a way that is wonderful and reveals your eternal purposes beyond what we could ever see. And so for people that now are in crisis, as we've already asked, and we ask again that you would help those individuals, because today we believe that you at this time have brought them to this point, and this truth is just what they need today. So they leave here knowing where to go. They'll come to a crisis of belief. They're going to have to decide what they really believe about you, and then how they'll respond. So I pray you'd help. Now, for all of us, as we know that there will come a time in the future when we have crisis, you've prepared us for it. And so we ask for your mind and your wisdom and insight to believe you even now and prepare for it. But whatever it is, God, today, you have brought us to a point where we have been entrusted with the stewardship of the truth. May we be wise stewards and respond to you in a way that is wise and brings glory to your name. Now, before I'm done praying about some things here, I want to just ask about you. What is the crisis that maybe even today God's bringing you to a time of crisis? And this moment is bringing it all to a point of decision. It may be that in your life, there are areas of your life God is transforming and he's bringing you to a decision point. And you know this, you're at a crisis of belief. Am I going to believe God in faith and action, or am I going to turn away and miss what he has? It may be that for you, you yet do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins in his blood. And this is a crisis. It's going on in your heart. And today is your time when you say yes to Jesus Christ and are once and for all born again by the Spirit of God and have new life and the forgiveness of sins. We want to give you a chance to respond. It may be that this is a day that you have some very significant burdens about which you're going to pray and you are crying out to God. And this is a day for you to respond. Whatever it is that God is doing in your life, this is a day for you to believe God and believe God by faith and take action. So as God is speaking, you can make that decision where you are in your seat, where in that very place, or you can come here and you and the Lord take some time, whether on these steps or these front chairs, that maybe you want someone to pray with you about some things and answer some questions. We have people that are prepared if you're a lady with a lady, a man with a man. But whatever it is that God is doing, would you embrace God's truth and trust him that he's entrusted you so that this crisis can bring you to blessing? And so, Lord, now there's a decision point that young people are at in their lives, men and women are at in their lives. We pray that you would bring great victory and individual lives in the midst of crisis. And so we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.